Hello and welcome to Two Guys, Three Movies. I'm AllClick, and with me, as always, is the film geek, or is known by his CB trucker handle, Big Reel.
Oh, that's a great introduction. I really did used to have a CB trucker handle.
Oh, wow.
You know, I grew up in the 70s with CBs, and you know, CBs were blogging before blogging happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And podcasts. And I did. I had a grew up on a farm, and I was the chicken farmer.
You see, I was just assuming, because you're a redneck, that you would just have a CB handle automatically. So, but turns out I was right.
Yes. Oh, that's a blast from the past. That's a lot of fun.
And mine, of course, would be Candy Cane.
You say, of course, as if I should get that.
Yeah. Well, have you ever seen a movie called Joyride?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, it's... It has Ted Levine in it and Paul Walker, Steve Zahn. It was like early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
And the whole plot of the movie is they're driving in their car and they hear a trucker come on, and I think Paul Walker pretends to be a woman called Candy Cane and winds up Ted Levine, who's this kind of creepy guy, and they tell him to meet them at this motel and they don't show up, and then it's, the rest of the movie is... this creepy guy pursuing them in his big rig.
Oh, I'm gonna call you Candy Cane from now on.
Well, all throughout the movie, he says, "I want my candy cane." It's a great movie. But so, two guys. That's us. Three movies, as usual. However, today it's more like six movies, I suppose.
Twice as much for your money.
That's right. No refunds. So we have a theme today. We're going to be talking about three movies that we thought would suck but ended up enjoying. Or something more pithy than that. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've all had that experience, haven't we? Where you go kind of begrudgingly to the theater, or maybe just... plop in the DVD after it's been sitting around the house for a couple of days because you have nothing better to do. And you know it's going to suck. You may be doing it for selfish reasons. You may be doing it because you're bored, but you know it's going to suck. And about maybe midway through, you think, hey, this doesn't suck. It's actually pretty good. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I have three movies that I think I... was so uninterested in seeing them that I watched them all on Netflix. I didn't even add them to my queue, and they sat around for maybe 4 or 5 days at least, every single one of these. Except I actually have a fourth movie that I'm including as a special mention today.
Oh, I can't wait.
I just thought of it about an hour before, and then I was like, yeah, I did think that movie was going to suck, and it was great. Do you want to go first for your first movie?
Sure, I'll go first. Mine are fairly recent. Or two of the three are fairly recent movies. This movie to me that I thought sucked but didn't, really sucked, I thought, because it was going to suck because of who the creator and the writer and the director was. Mm-hmm. And that was Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
Aside from Pulp Fiction, which I think is a classic... forever classic movie. I hate Quentin Tarantino. I think he's vain. He's pompous. He's the guy at the party that is just gonna just talk about himself and not be interested in anybody else. He loves himself that much. So I'm kind of I go into any Tarantino movie kind of dreading watching the movie. I'm biased against it from the beginning.
Hey, he's probably the guy at the party talking about himself in French or Spanish.
Yes. Yeah. And throwing out names of people that he's met, or throwing out one-liners like Dennis Miller that everybody's supposed to understand. He thinks everybody's going to understand, and they don't. So anyway, but Inglourious Basterds, to me, I went in a bit biased. And I absolutely loved it. Thought it was remarkable. Thought the acting was terrific. The guy who played the Christoph Waltz, who won the Oscar for his role, I think, was unbelievable, and he just drew me in from the beginning. The dialogue was incredible. The acting was remarkable, and I just couldn't get over how great it was.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Actually, you know, I had been beginning to feel the same way about Quentin Tarantino ever since the Kill Bill series. I went to see Kill Bill 1 at the theater and just absolutely hated it, and thought it was the biggest waste of time. I haven't even seen Kill Bill 2, and then I've been watching Quentin Tarantino in his late night interviews beforehand, before Inglourious Bastards. And he just made himself seem pretentious and self-involved, and he was cracking jokes that no one but him was getting. It was just awful. And then even when I saw the, I remember seeing the trailers for Inglourious Bastards, and it made it seem like it was going to be, you know, Brad Pitt and his Nazi hunters just going around killing Nazis, basically.
Right.
So I was very pleasantly surprised when it was a lot more than that. I especially loved the scene where they're pretending to be Germans down in the bar.
Yes.
And just how wonderfully just the whole thing plays out, and it's not rushed, and you're tense because you don't know at what point they're going to be made, or if they're not going to be made, or... Oh, yeah, I thought that was a great film.
That's true. That scene is it really is incredible, because it takes its time. It's a very patiently made movie, and I'm glad we agree.
Did you also see the Grindhouse film that Tarantino did? Do you remember that?
I do remember it. No, I stopped watching. I saw Reservoir Dogs, and I saw Pulp Fiction. I saw the one he made right after Pulp Fiction, which name escapes me. And then I stopped watching him after Hostel. I mean, he produced Hostel, but I was so disturbed by that, and it seemed so self-indulgent that I just stopped. I didn't want anything more to do with him. So I did not see those movies.
Yeah, I mean, Death Proof was the one that he did, and that just made me... That reinforced my resentment towards him, watching that. But it's worth watching the whole thing to see the Planet Terror with Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Which was a lot better.
I've heard other people say that as well. Well, and yours?
My first movie, actually all my movies are fairly recent, in the last 2 or 3 years actually, is Gran Torino. And we talked about Clint Eastwood a bit last time, I think. But, I haven't watched enough Clint Eastwood movies to be excited about seeing him in a movie.
Yeah.
Despite kind of knowing the legacy, and I believe he directed the movie as well, and watching the commercials and reading the plot about it, I was expecting this movie to be grumpy, old, racist man lives out his life alone while being racist towards immigrant neighbors. And, you know, I was foreseeing typical kind of get off my lawn rants and get out of my neighborhood, get out of my country kind of things. Just a real obvious kind of story. But, as I started watching it, I was just very pleasantly surprised how different it was to what I was expecting, and it just wasn't at all what I had pictured going into it.
Now, some of that stereotypical stuff that you described was an important part of the film, but it was below the surface. You're talking about the substance of what his character was, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. You know, that I think that's one of the hardest things to get at when you're an actor, and he seems really very, very good at that. I happened to watch one of his other old spaghetti western movies again. The other day, it wasn't the spaghetti western, but it was The Outlaw Josie Wales. That's what it was. And I was amazed at how sensitive he could be when he looks stoic. Mm-hmm. And it's a really unusual ability, I think, for people to have. But he's very, very good at it. You can just sense the underlying sensitivity and kind of the inner turmoil that's going through him. And that movie, the movie you're talking about, certainly that's the key.
Yeah, it was like, he has these underlying beliefs, but there was so much more to his character and his personality that was kind of explored and that came out with the new family moving in next door. It was a lot more than just grumpy old man is racist towards neighbors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job, and then I seem to remember reading that he decided that was going to be the last movie he acted in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah.
But it's a good one to go out on. Did the ending surprise you?
Yes, it did. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
So was I. I think knowing the kind of iconic actor that Clint Eastwood strap on a couple of guns and go blazing in to save the day.
Yeah.
And it was a very, but what he did and at the end was so very personal and such an incredibly personal sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
that it was so much more powerful than anything else could have happened. A very, very simple scene, but incredibly powerful, I thought.
Did you have the same kind of misgivings about the film going into it, or did you see Clint Eastwood modern drama and think this is going to be great?
I did not have the same misgivings, but I think that I may know Eastwood's character more so than you did. I may have more experience with him. I think most of his films are kind of the curmudgeon and the really the substance under that.
Mm-hmm.
Even Dirty Harry is the same thing, where a guy's incredibly violent and trying to get to the root of the criminal, but still he's a softy at heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure what any of that just meant, but you get the point.
No, I was just trying to think of a good way of saying hard trail and soft inside without sounding like a candy.
Yeah, I want my candy cane.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go with your second movie? Let's see what you got.
My second movie, in no particular order, is The Blind Side.
Ah.
And I think the reason that I wasn't excited about this movie was that I thought it was going to be a football movie. I thought it was most of the things that I had read and the when I saw the commercials and I'd read a basic plot outline, it looked like it was going to be about family adopt this guy who's a football player, and then the rest of the movie is going to be, let's watch this guy really improve in football and become a great football star, and then maybe we'll have a game where it's like the championship final and he has to catch the winning touchdown in the last 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was preparing myself for that kind of thing. And it wasn't. It was a lot more about human nature and second chances and what we can do when someone believes in us and supports us and gives us confidence. And Sandra Bullock won. She won Best Actress, I think, didn't she? For
yes, yeah, she did.
Which I thought she did well in the movie. I didn't think it was particularly an amazing performance from her. I thought maybe that was another one of those for the body of work rather than her performance here. It seemed a little bit one-dimensional.
Yeah, that's so too. They were probably really honoring her for Speed.
That's, or Speed 2, maybe. having not seen it, that could have been her breakaway performance.
Well, have you, since the movie, have you seen any interviews with the real family?
I haven't. I remember reading the trivia about the real footballer who said he didn't like his portrayal as someone who was bad at playing football to start off with.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen any of the real family, no.
Well, from my perspective, they're just horribly unlikable.
Right.
And Sandra Bullock probably deserves an Oscar for making this character likable in some sense, because the woman in real life is just a shrew. She's not likable at all, and it's clear, I think, from watching interviews about the real life situation, they probably skewed this, maybe even knew that's exactly what they were doing, and perhaps did it, took him in order to do that. They just don't seem like the kind of people that are portrayed in the movie. I didn't care for the movie. I thought it felt like a Lifetime TV movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it really was just the feel of the movie to me that caused me not to like it. I mean, all the stuff that you said is absolutely accurate, and it was about the relationship. It was about how the relationships changed dramatically a person's life. But there was just something that was that just didn't feel like a quality movie to me, and I was actually surprised it was as received as well as it was.
Well, I think it's one of those movies that I liked, but the fact that I thought it was going to suck so much is how it made it onto my list today. But I can see why you would think it could easily be in a Lifetime movie, and it's almost like the camera they used, or the way they filmed every scene, is almost that haziness that Lifetime movies have, or like really bright and colorful. So even when he's in, like, in the hood in a really dangerous looking living room, around lots of dangerous, frightening characters, it's still like a well lit, colorful, clean environment.
There's a nice kind of auburn glow going on in the room. And
Did you ever see?
Makes everybody feel warm and cozy.
Did you ever see Glory Road?
Yeah. I have a hard time when I hear a title conjuring up, but yes, I think I have seen Glory Road with Denzel Washington. No, Glory.
I think you're thinking of Glory Hole Road.
No, I guess maybe I haven't. I'm thinking of Glory.
It's the basketball one. It's also a true story about the first black college basketball team, I believe.
Yeah, I did see that.
Did you like that?
It was about the same for me as this movie was. It was okay. It was all right. It wasn't great.
But you don't actually like sports movies, then?
Surprisingly, I don't. And I'm a really big sports fan, but I do not usually like sports movies. I think they seem cliche often, mm-hmm. way too easily to be cliche in them. And like, I didn't even like We Are Marshall. I thought We Are Marshall sucked.
Prepare for a lynching, commie.
Yes, I thought it was awful. You know, and I would go to work or wherever I was at, and people would say, "What'd you think of the movie?" And I would say, "Oh, I thought it was fine." But on the inside, I was crying.
Yeah. I have no interest in the game of baseball, but I enjoy several baseball movies. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
So are we on your second movie?
Yeah. You know, the second movie that I thought would suck and didn't, I'm a little bit nervous about even bringing up, because every guy is going to think it sucked. But that was Dear John.
And, you know, I haven't seen it, So you can breathe a sigh of relief for now.
I know, but I know that you're mocking me inside. But and here's the thing. I had no interest in seeing this. I'd like to state up front so that my manliness is in question. But my wife did. My wife really knew something about the film, and she said, "Hang in there. I promise you that you'll like it. There's some things about this movie that will resonate with you." So I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the first 5 minutes, Channing Tatum, who's the star of the movie, kind of walks out of the beach shirtless and like a small Speedo kind of thing. And I thought, oh, okay, I can hang out with this.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Yeah. No. And I immediately thought when that happened, oh, what am I in for?
Yeah.
But and there were all these comparisons to The Notebook. I guess the writer and the film's backers were the same people who did The Notebook. So it was really packaged, no pun intended, as a kind of a romance flick. But there is an element of romance in the movie, but it's really not all of that. At the very core of this movie is the relationship between the central character his father. Mm-hmm. And it's a single father who, as it turns out, has a form of autism called Asperger's disorder. And he's very routinized, very rigid, has extreme challenges with his senses and with social interactions. And the main character, grows up just thinking his father's kind of an isolated jerk, doesn't really understand what's going on with his dad and really struggles with their relationship. And through his interaction with his new girlfriend, she knows something about this condition, and she opens up his eyes to that and allows an opportunity for the two of them to connect in some way. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I thought it was a tremendous movie. And Channing Tatum actually was a very good actor in the movie. So I went in thinking it was absolutely going to suck. Came out thinking that was much better than I anticipated.
Well, I think you've presented a good case. I still don't think if I'm quite swayed yet. I mean, I'm just looking at the cover right now, and it just looks awful. But
yeah, well, I really think that it was packaged poorly. Maybe it was packaged that way on purpose, but what the film is not how it's marketed.
I actually like Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried, yeah. Whatever her name is. I think she's a very good actress.
She was very good.
But no, I haven't seen it, so I will just take your word for it.
I'm going to challenge you to see it and tell me if it's not a terrific movie.
Okay. Well, you see, I'm expecting it to suck a lot, so you might be in luck. If we do this topic again, it may come up. Do you want to go with your third movie?
Okay. Well, I owe my third selection to Spike Nesmith, who, in addition to being one of the founding members of the Monkees, an heir to a whiteout fortune, is also a tremendous fan of the movies and a fan of Peter Jackson. And he and I were talking one day, and he asked me if I'd seen a film from Peter Jackson called Forgotten Silver. And I had not. Have you heard of it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Peter Jackson, I think, is a really terrific filmmaker, if you like big blockbuster special effects laden kind of flicks. I mean, he did the Lord of the Rings and the King Kong remake, and I thought King Kong was butchered. I prefer the '30s version to what Peter Jackson did. And I read I read The Lord of the Rings years ago. I didn't want his, you know, vision fucking up my idea of what it looked like, and it did. So, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd about those things. I don't want to mess it up. So when Spike told me about this movie, Forgotten Silver, I just kind of disregarded it and took a look at it probably a couple of months after he mentioned it to me. But Forgotten Silver was made in 1995, and it was a TV production. It was played, I think, in someplace in a European channel, and it tells the story of a guy named Colin McKenzie. Peter Jackson made this film in documentary style, as if he discovers a stash of Colin McKenzie's films in an old trunk, and he and his colleagues are restoring it. It's a wonderful documentary that looks at this old movie that was being made, and all called Salome, and all of the techniques that this pioneer created in the era of silent movies. The rub is Colin McKenzie never existed. Mm-hmm. And the film Salome never existed. This was all a fake doc. It's a fake documentary or a mockumentary, and it's done so well that I think when it was played in Europe, people thought that it was real, and it looks real. I was mesmerized by it when I watched it. I went in expecting effects and glitz and and came away with just a very well-made, very subtle, very personal film. It was terrific.
Wow, I'm gonna have to get a hold of that. I mean, it doesn't sound like I have such a bigger beef with Peter Jackson as you do, but I do like mockumentaries and anything, you know, that sounds good enough to fool people into thinking it was the real thing.
Yeah, it's really that good, and I really do think you would like it. And it never sells out for a second. And you know, my misunderstanding of Peter Jackson came from just those couple of movies, and they were fine movies. But I've said before, I'm kind of anti green screen and yeah, all of that stuff. So for me, that's all I knew. But this was just a very, very subtle, very personal kind of film that made me think of him differently.
Well, my third movie, which I think you may have seen, is The Reader with Kate Winslet.
Yes.
Yeah. And
she was nude in that film, right?
Yeah, I believe she was nude 100%.
Just double checking. I just want to make sure that... I remember that.
She, she wasn't nude. She wore a green cat suit the whole time, and they just projected a nude body onto her. she was nude throughout a lot of the movie. But that wasn't the sole reason that I thought it didn't suck. But, you know, going in, I was thinking, you know, what is this going to be about? I don't even think I remembered the commercials by the time it came out. It was just one of those that had surprised me in my Netflix queue, shown up in my mailbox mysteriously, and I didn't know what to expect. Probably like a tired drama set years ago about a trial and some kind of relationship between a young boy and an older woman, and...
giving him a bath.
Yeah, I think I may have seen that clip. He gets a bath. But, you know, I started watching it, and I was completely enthralled. I really wanted to find out what was going to happen, how it was going to play out. I was interested to just see how Kate Winslet's character was going to change but keep to itself. I was just completely wrapped in the story, and... I thoroughly enjoyed it and completely surprised myself.
Yeah, I think that her character for me is one of those characters that that surprises you in film, because there was nothing about this woman that you should like.
Mm-hmm.
She was somebody who had an affair with an underage guy.
Yeah.
Seduced an underage man. Was kind of, if you remember, very distant emotionally from him, and kind of rude on occasion. She was not a pleasant woman. Then you find out she was she had been involved with holding victims of the Holocaust prisoner as some kind of Nazi camp attendant, and there, so there was nothing about this woman that should have been likable, but she was so good at being redeemable, or there was something about her that you really wanted to find out how could this woman have become this.
Yeah.
In her life. Yeah, it was a terrific movie. Very, very good movie.
There was something just so human about her that you wanted to root for despite everything else.
Yeah.
I thought she was terrific in it.
You think is there anything to analyze on the fact that two of the six movies we've talked about tonight has some kind of Nazi theme?
Perhaps so, yeah. That we secretly love Nazis.
Well, or we thought they sucked in some way.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
My special mention, as mentioned earlier in the show, was...
My candy cane.
Was Joyride, yeah. No, it was Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, as I would say.
Mm. With Johnny Depp.
With Johnny Depp, yeah. And that other guy from Lord of the Rings. And the reason I add it to my list is that that was one of the movies I actually went to see at the theater, and it was the first movie I'm talking about. I had never even heard of the ride or the show or whatever it is at Disney, is it?
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen any of the trailers. It was just one of those Friday nights you just show up at the theater and you go see whatever's playing at that time. I think it even says Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean, so I was like, okay, this is going to be some kind of kids movie with fun frolics and probably children saving the day. But it was I loved Johnny Depp in it, and I thought even the whole storyline was fun, and that the undead pirates mysteriously appearing and walking across the bottom of the sea. I thought it was a terrific movie.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that movie made a ton of money within a short period of time, didn't it? A lot of people really liked it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I liked it too. And I've been on the ride at Disney since, and the interesting thing is they have a couple of statues now, or I guess mannequins of Johnny Depp. In some kind of trouble that you get to see as you're going through. I liked the movie too. I don't think I liked it well enough to I don't think I saw the second one. But I do remember thinking, I knew about the ride, and I do remember thinking, how could they create a movie based on a 10-minute ride?
Mm-hmm.
It was an entertaining movie, and Johnny Depp to me could make that leap. He could make that entertaining, I think.
Yeah, he was definitely the greatest thing about it, and it was just a shame that they went ahead and made two more awful movies just because this one made a ton of money.
Yeah, that's right.
And look out for the next movie from Disney called "It's a Small World." the movie.
I wrote about Inception today because I saw it yesterday and or Friday, and it was I didn't want to give anything away, so I ended up talking about the Cajun Man from Saturday Night Live. Do you remember the Cajun Man?
No.
Adam Sandler used to do a bit where he would go on the news, and Kevin Nealon as the news guy would ask him questions, and he was dressed like a Cajun who says things like "Onion."
Right.
And So, and his word, his answers were always monosyllabic words that he would stretch into two or three syllables. So he would say, how did you lose all the weight? Liposuction. So anyway, that's how I ended up talking about on my blog, talking about Inception. I hope you go see it soon so we can talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope to see it maybe tomorrow, and then we can talk about it next time.
Okay.
Well, thanks for joining me. That about wraps it up for today. Maybe we'll have a different theme next time, or we'll have seen three movies by then.
We will. Good talking to you. It's always fun.
And you.